This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Two predictions. Night will follow day, and the Fed will raise interest rates this week. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Crude oil is up more than 4% this morning amid new promises of cuts in production worldwide. Plus, there's an interest rate story. Today, a benchmark interest rate, the yield on the 10-year note, crossed above 2.5% for the first time in 2 years. Let's consult Bill Stone at PNC Asset Management Group. Mr. Stone, thank you for the consultation here.
Good morning.
So, later this week, we're going to get higher interest rates from the Fed?
You know what? I'm going to call this my lock of the week and say it is as close to a certainty as you can get these days.
Oh, my goodness, dear listener. You don't often hear that. An economist committing without hedging. Are you seeing some of this in the bond market? For the first time in 2 years, I see the yield on the 10-year Treasury at about 2.5%. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's been priced in for weeks now that this was highly likely. I think the more interesting thing about this week will really be what does the Fed say about the future path of interest rates? So how many hikes do they expect to do next year?
Now, crude oil up at one point this morning 4% after the Saudis reaffirmed their commitment to cutting production. You also have the non-OPEC countries over the weekend doing the same. You see that connected to the bond prices, bonds falling and yields going up?
We have seen consumer inflation here in the U.S. moving up a bit. We'll probably see it again this week. Yields tend to go up because you expect inflation to also move up along the way. And also you can tie it in typically, you know, I think, and this is more talking about the supply side, but that you might see more demand just because we have seen the global economy, frankly, firming up a bit, which usually means you're going to see more demand for energy product.
Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Asset Management. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, in dollar terms, Boeing is the one U.S. company that exports the most. Today, Boeing confirmed a $17 billion deal to sell airplanes to Iran, a sale now permitted as sanctions are lifted following the U.S.-Iran nuclear deal. Other companies, including Europe's Airbus, may soon follow Boeing's lead to get deals moving forward ahead of the Trump era, where there's skepticism about that Iran deal. President Obama is expected to sign a law tomorrow to speed approval of some drugs and medical devices and to spend more on medical research. And this 21st Century Cures Act should make it easier to shift the medical records of patients to and from hospitals and doctors. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
When you spend more than $30 billion, you want to get your money's worth. That's how much the Obama administration has spent getting electronic records off the ground. But even though most hospitals and doctors now have them, data isn't being shared the way it should, as some healthcare record companies worry about their profits. University of Michigan's Julia Adler-Milstein says the new bill gives the feds the ability to fine a company up to $1 million if it's blocking patient file sharing.
For the first time, they're the tools to disincentivize bad behavior.
This part of the legislation ultimately won support from Republicans, despite their reputation for opposing regulation, particularly against industry.
I won't say that it was an easy lift.
That's Republican Texas Congressman Michael Burgess, who spearheaded this part of the bill through the House.
The whole purpose of spending the taxpayers' money was that there would be the ability to get information from one place to another quickly, safely, and securely.
It's now up to federal health officials to strengthen rules to give doctors and hospitals more confidence their systems will talk with each other. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Latinos are 17% of the American population, and about 1 in 4 babies born in the U.S. are Latino. Retailers are watching the demographics. For instance, Target is spending more this year on Spanish-language ads. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Rocio Cigarrero is the kind of shopper Target would like to see more of. She's Latina, happens to be from Mexico, and the Target store in Minneapolis where I ran into her, she's a regular.
Yes, I come almost every day.
Her 10-year-old daughter, Yamil Ambriz, sometimes tags along.
And what kind of stuff do you guys buy at Target?
Oil, sugar,
fruit, vegetables. My mom sometimes buys some clothes there.
Target is looking to draw more Latino customers into stores. Last year, it focused a whole campaign on its Latino audience, playing off unique Spanish words, like one describing time spent with family or friends after dinner, sobremesa. Target spending on Spanish-language TV is up 67% over the year for the holiday season. Its ads running now on English and Spanish-language TV networks feature bilingual actors who play their parts in both languages.
¿Esto va a quedar? Sí. Espectacular.
Target's standing with Latino shoppers slipped a bit following its big data breach a few years ago, according to Kantar retail analyst Amy Koo. But it still has a higher-than-average slice of the Hispanic market, partly because its stores are in more urban areas than, say, those of Walmart. And Koo says new store openings will increasingly focus on urban and college areas.
So physically, they're expanding in those regions that are going to be more Hispanic or minority-heavy.
I asked Target marketing executive Rick Gomez whether the pursuit of the Latino shopper might change in light of the charged atmosphere around immigration following the election. Target's PR person didn't like the question.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to interrupt. Rick is not prepared to go there. And as a
But Rick Gomez, who's Mexican-American himself, did want to answer.
We're committed to continue to grow our business with a Hispanic guest. It's a large demographic. It's growing. And they have huge influence on the broader population when it comes to trends like fashion, food, music.
So ignoring that shopper, not something Target plans to do. In Minneapolis, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
In early trading this morning, Viacom stock was down about 7%. CBS stock down more than 3%. After the Sumner Redstone family, the big shareholder in both companies, decided to change course and no longer support a new merger of Viacom and CBS. Those two firms split apart about a decade ago. The quashing of the new merger is a wager that Viacom can thrive on its own. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.